Tyler Pistons. John Pickett.
Pickett's here.
Justin Knight.
Here.
Jerry Boyer.
Present.
Chris Kendricks.
Here.
All present.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The first item on the agenda tonight, we've got a lot to get through. Old business, ordinance 21-11, parental leave. What is the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move that ordinance 21-11 be on the floor, on the table for consideration tonight.
I have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All right. So ordinance 21-11, I'll turn it over to you, Justice Knight, if you would like.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I know there was some confusion and some question about how it was brought to full court last month. This is just an opportunity to bring it back to committee. If there are any changes that the members want to make to it, I'm perfectly fine with the way it is at this point. So open up the floor for discussion on that.
Thank you, Justice Knight. I will add to that, and I want to formally apologize to all the members and members of the public who are present for folks being upset about what happened. I was just trying to take care of business and be considerate of what happened in the circumstances. And I just wanted to publicly apologize for any misperceived intent. I, along with Justice Knight, support the ordinance as is written. Thank you. Anybody else on the committee?
Justice Pearson, this is Justice Kendrick.
Go ahead.
I just want to, I emailed Nancy Thomas, who's our human resource officer, just getting a little more information and asking for an overview of all the leave available to the county employees. I was just going to read that real quick to the committee members, just so everybody's aware of the leave that's already available and then addition to what we're proposing. So as far as vacation and the accrual rate depends on the years of service, but an employee can carry up to a total of 240 hours of vacation. As sick time, they can carry up to a total of 480 hours. FMLA is up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave. Catastrophic pay, if it was approved, which can run concurrent with FMLA, goes up for approval typically in 20-day increments. And then we also have, and I did not see in the employee handbook any cap on this, but time that's donated from other employees that have excess that they would like to donate from another to another employee. The only thing I found in that was it just required permission from the supervisor or the elected official. So I just want to bring that to the attention if everybody wasn't aware of that. That is the total hours that's available to all of our county employees. And then what we're looking at here is an additional 2 weeks leave, I guess. So just want to bring that up because I did a little research and reached out. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Justice Knight. Anyone else on the committee? All right. Hearing no other discussion, what is the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to move proposed ordinance 21-11 to the full court for its consideration.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? All right. Ayes have it. Ordinance 21-11 does advance to the full court. Next item on the agenda is proposed ordinance 21-30, race request for the Baltimore County Sheriff's Office. What is the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. motion that we put proposed ordinance 2130 on the table for discussion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Open the floor for discussion. If somebody from the sheriff's office is I think Angie, you told me you'd be there if you're there, would like to step on up. Please.
Pardon?
Oh, it's my committee. You can sit wherever you can. Come on in. Oh, I see. You're going to sit next to her.
Yeah.
Push
it back. Thank you. Oh,
there,
no. I get to use that middle one. Okay. Is it working? Nope.
There you go.
Right now.
No.
Turn
it all.
There you go. Hello? Oh, okay. Here we go. Okay. Would you like me to speak first, or would you like to ask if there's any questions of the ordinance?
I'm going to give you the floor, Ms. Horn.
Okay. We came before the court originally in May to request our raises for dispatch center employees. We did craft our salary surveys based on the formalization ordinance that was approved, and I did email those out to the committee members, and I also have copies as well. If you need a hard copy, I have it with me. And so what the salary surveys were based on was the 2021 AAC salary survey that is put out by the Arkansas Association of Counties. We used the classics counties. So for example, the first one in line is dispatcher, Garland County, Saline County, White County, Craighead County, Jefferson County, and Sebastian County. In regards to the dispatcher position, Craighead County, Jefferson County, and Sebastian County do not fund dispatcher positions. They have other sources, and I know that some of them have a contract for their dispatch services, and so that's why there's nothing listed in the AAC salary survey for those three counties. So I utilize Garland, Saline, and White County and come up with an average of $35,613. And then when you put that together with Faulkner County, and then also add the average, Faulkner County is listed last. We currently pay our dispatchers $31,091. And so the average would be a larger increase than what we are actually asking. Our dispatchers, we are asking to raise them from the $31,091 to $34,000. And you'll notice in the packet, we have three different positions: dispatcher, assistant dispatch supervisor, and dispatch supervisor. And all three of them, we are actually asking for below the average of what the salary surveys. And in my email, I believe I explained it, that when we did our salary survey, we did not just do this for our dispatch center employees. I actually completed the salary survey based on the formalization ordinance that was passed for every Faulkner County Sheriff's Office position. We have approximately 42 positions within our department, position titles within our department, and I've completed the salary survey for all of those, which I also emailed out to the personnel committee. And when I looked at that, based on our pay scale for all 42 positions, this is an adequate amount to ask at this time. If we ask for what the average shows, then it would possibly throw off our pay scale within the ranks within our department. So that's why we would like to request at the rate that we have within the ordinance. I also attached, the next page on dispatchers. I know according to the formalization ordinance, if there was multiple positions titled for dispatchers, you had to come up with an average of that. So you'll see on the second page, Garland County, I came up with an average for their dispatcher positions because they actually have different levels. Our dispatchers are paid all the same. We don't have different levels for our dispatchers. So that's where I came up with an average. And then Saline County, they just have different rates of pay within their dispatchers. And then White County is the same thing. They just have different rates of pay within their dispatchers. And so that's why I came up with an average from all three of the different counties for their average salary. For Garland County and Saline County, they also have dissimilar job titles compared to our dispatcher position. So Garland County job title is telecommunicator, and then Saline County is communications operator. But I did include a copy of our own dispatcher position job description for Faulkner County, and then there's a copy of Garland County job description, and as well a copy of for all of our levels, and then as well a copy of Saline County's as part of the formalization ordinance. For the assistant dispatch supervisor position, our assistant dispatch supervisor is currently paid as a dispatcher. We do not have a pay increase already built in for her, so we're wanting to support her in that manner because she does have extra duties in comparison to a regular dispatcher. And there was only one other county in the class six counties that I could find that actually has assistant dispatch supervisor, which is White County. And so I used them to come up with that. That would be the average based on the formalization. And we are asking that her rate of pay actually be set at $36,000 instead of the average, which is $38,674. And like I said before, she's currently paid as a dispatcher, which is $31,091. And since they have the same exact job title, I did not attach a copy of their job description because it stated to only do so if it was similar. And then dispatch supervisor, we were able to gather data from Garland County, Saline County, and White County. The average is $43,234. Faulkner County is listed last, which is $36,343 currently. And we're asking that that position be raised to $40,000. And we attach copies of job descriptions from Garland County and Saline County, because their job titles are telecommunicator supervisor and then lead communications operator for their positions that are similar. And I think that's it. If you have any questions.
Justice Pearson, I just have a comment. This is Justice Kendrick. Thank you, Ms. Woolley, for getting all this data together. I know this is the first personnel meeting since we passed the ordinance for the salary survey, and I know it was a lot of work, but thank you for presenting this data to all of us board members so we can make an informed decision. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other discussion from the committee or questions for the Sheriff's Office representative?
Mr. Chairman, this is Pickett.
You're recognized.
Ms. Woolley, you did an excellent job.
Thank you, sir.
On your salary survey data that you submitted following Mr. Kendrick's personnel manual changes that we passed last month, excuse me. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
All right, any other questions or comments from committee members? All right, hearing none at this point, I would entertain a motion to advance this to the Budget and Finance Committee.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor of advancing Ordinance 2130 to Budget and Finance indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. All right. Thank you, Ms. Woolley. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you. May I also add something for a moment?
Please go right ahead.
Thank you. As I said before, I had completed the salary surveys for every one of our positions at our department, and I did email that out to all committee members, and I wanted just to have a moment to discuss that. I don't want it to be at length, and I don't want anybody to misperceive our information that was put out or anything like that, so I just wanted to make a statement if I could. We wanted to do this, and we will do this annually for our department once AAC releases their salary survey annually. We will redo this every single year for our department, for every position. We hope to one day address every position and hopefully get our sheriff's office employees adequately paid compared to the other class six counties. At this point, I have only emailed that out to the committee members, but any other justice or any member of the public, anyone that would like to see it, I will gladly email it out to anybody that would like to view it. It is based on the class six counties. We did have a few positions within our department that were it's really hard to find the same job titles or even comparable job titles within the 5-6 counties. One being that our court security staff, court security officers and bailiffs, I guess a large portion of them are paid through other means, possibly through the actual courts and through the states. I'm not sure because it doesn't show within the 5-6 counties. And so I actually looked through smaller departments, through smaller classes. If you look at those, I used some class 2 counties and class 3 counties to actually get comparable salaries, and they are already paid higher than ours, and they are sizably smaller than ours. But just, I want everyone to know, and I want our employees to know, we want to fight for them. They deserve to be paid for what they're working. It has been, I know it was mentioned earlier by our reserve deputies that came forward for funding requests, that I know for a fact it seems like the last 2 years has been a whirlwind. And working in law enforcement has just increased stress-wise across the board. It doesn't matter if you're in law enforcement, patrol side, dispatch services, finance services, I can speak for myself, our detention facility, we are stressed to the max. And our people do deserve to be paid for that stress that they deal with. And they don't work there for the money, or they would have already left. And we have had numerous ones leave because they can't handle it. But we want to support the people that are staying around and sticking with it, because that is their passion, and that's what they have chose as a career path. And the information shows that we know that county general, our two main sources of revenue for our employees, the two areas that our employees are paid out of, is county general and criminal justice fund. And there is not enough available funding to request every salary raise that shows on paper that needs to be requested. And so at this time, we have not requested raises for all positions due to that. But if we did look at the data, according to the salary surveys for every position in county general that are paid out of the sheriff payroll, it would be an increase of $212,232. That's to increase to the average. And then in the county jail department out of county general, it would be an increase of $196,401. In the juvenile jail grant, which is about 75% supported from a grant, that position is, but the actual salary itself would need to increase by $5,285. The COPS grant, those positions, according to salary survey, those six positions would need an increase of $25,512. And those are all county general positions. So a grand total for county general would be $439,430. And it's not there. There's not enough available funding in county general to support our Faulkner County Sheriff's Office positions salary raises. In criminal justice, the jail payroll out of criminal justice would be $269,634 for those positions. And then the law enforcement deputies and dispatchers positions in criminal justice would be $45,872. And that's a grand total out of criminal justice that's needed of $315,506. And then we have two dispatchers that are paid out of PSAP 911, which is actually coming before the court tonight as well, and to increase them off of what the actual salary survey shows for average is $18,088. And so if you add that all together, all three funding sources, we would need $773,024. And that does not include the cost of benefits that also increase. If you put the cost of benefits also increase into that, it's close to $1 million. So I just wanted to address the court and let y'all know that we will continue to fight for our department and our employees, because we love them and we appreciate them more than they will ever know. And we hope to one day address this so that way they can be adequately paid. And we will come before the court again, most likely in May of next year, with the 2022 information as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Walia. Does anybody on the committee have any questions for Angie? All right. Thank you for the very holistic perspective. I think that's great information to have before the committee, and really appreciate all of your hard work putting that together.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda will be proposed ordinance 21-31, raise request for the tax collector's office. I'm going to go ahead and put this on the table myself just to kind of move things along a little bit. Is there anybody from the tax collector's office that would like to speak?
Yes, I'm here.
Present.
Yes.
All right, if you would just approach the microphone or next to the laptop somewhere.
I'm not sure who all got the, let me pass this out. Did you all get that in there? I also use the AAC salary survey, and the ones that are different from the AAC salary survey, I enclosed a email from that county showing what their current salary was. Some of them had gotten increases since that salary survey was put out. So using the criteria that Justice Chris Kendrick proposed, the average salary for Chief Deputy Collector is $53,783.66. Currently, my Chief Deputy makes $51,005. I also did a separate one, not including Jefferson and White County, because of their population being so much lower than all the other counties in the class six counties. And if you don't use their average, it comes up to 56,034.25. And I did both of them because I know that some elected officials are proposing the higher salary. And so if that goes through the Quorum Court and gets approved at the higher salary, I think they should look at all of them at that. My chief deputy has worked for Faulkner County for 35 years.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Coates. Any questions from the committee members? And just to be clear, right now, I think we're just discussing 2131. We're not yet to the point of 2131B.
Okay.
Okay. Hearing no comments or questions from the committee, what is the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, just a second.
I think that the supporting data that was submitted to support the tax collector's ordinance 21-31 does not satisfy the amendment to the personnel manual that Justice Hendricks submitted and the Quorum Court approved last month. And I would make a motion that this ordinance be tabled until the supporting data can be corrected and improved.
Okay, there is a motion on the floor to table 2131. I have a second. Motion and a second to table 2131. All those in favor indicate, please, by saying aye.
Aye.
And I heard two ayes. Chair votes aye as well. Couldn't hear the other votes, but the ayes will have it. Ordinance 2031 is tabled. Next item on the agenda would be ordinance 2131B, and I'm just going to, since we already kind of took up the first one, I will just open it up to the committee's pleasure. If anybody wants to bring this forward, feel free to. If not, we'll just leave it on the agenda for our next meeting. So is there any committee member that would like to motion to bring this to the table?
Justin.
We don't have anything titled B, 2131B. Am I missing?
May I make a comment, Justice Pearson?
Yes, please.
This is Margaret Darter, County Clerk. I provided the B for the assessor and for the collector because one of the things that we have asked in the past is that all of our chief deputies pay paid at the same rate. And though their salary survey come back a little bit different, we're still several of us asking that they all be paid at the same rate. So that's why that was provided. Sherry's not even aware probably that that was provided. I provided that for her and Chrissy because theirs was a little bit less.
Well, thank you for the clarification. It is not technically on the agenda, but I did see it on the website. So I guess there was my confusion. And since it's not formally on the agenda, we'll just move on to the next agenda item at this time. Ordinance 2132, a raise request for the assessor's office. I will bring this ordinance to the floor and ask if there's anybody from the assessor's office who would like to speak on behalf of the ordinance. Anybody?
It's me. I'm sitting here.
Alrighty. Whenever you're ready, you have the floor.
Okay. A couple weeks ago, I emailed out 78 pages of information, and I sent it to the entire quorum court so that everyone could be on the same page with seeing what we did. I actually requested for our entire office, but I requested it for the budget process. I noticed that when the ordinances went out that there wasn't an ordinance or there wasn't anything on the agenda for that. So no one but Margaret has told me that it had planned to be discussed later during the budget process. So I wasn't aware that we were or weren't discussing September raise requests. So I just wanted to, on record, let everyone know that I did turn my stuff in for September as we're supposed to for my entire office, including my chief deputy. But as Margaret said, she did do two ordinances because ours did come in a little bit different. In the past, we have paid all of our chief deputies the same. We got cut off at convention listening to, I heard Tyler Lahosky ask in the past how that's worked. I've been here 21 years, and our chief deputies have always made the same. It's kind of been an understanding. I agree that at some level, it depends on the person. Me and Crystal and others have had discussions about different chief deputies. Some of them have been here a long time. Some of them have been here longer than others. But at the end of the day, when all of our elected officials are gone, those chief deputies have somewhat the same duty. They are in charge when we're not here. So I would like to take the – I love my chief deputy, and I couldn't run my office without her. But at the end of the day, I think it should be about the position more than it is about the person as an individual. My chief deputy, though, did come from Conway County with 10 years experience. She was already a level 4 appraiser. She was already licensed in the state of Arkansas. We did not have to spend the money as a county here to send her to school to become an appraiser. And she's been here for 6 years, so she has 16 years. All of our chief deputies here, we did not have a turnover, so most of them have all been here a long time and have worked their way up through our offices. I sent the salary survey, and I did include everybody. I also included Faulkner County as well, and then I did one at the bottom without Faulkner County. And ours, I was doing the $53,784, but I also did a separate one just in case, and it can be brought up at a later time once these have been discussed and passed on to court or not, to ask later if the chief judges should be made the same pay.
I would like to ask y'all, though, are we discussing stuff later, like the September raise request? Since I never heard from you or anyone else on the committee, are we doing those during budget?
I'm not sure if I understand your question. We aren't discussing your raise request right now. Is there something else that I'm missing?
No, I was doing the chief deputy, but I was just wondering about the rest of it, if we were going to do that later. Because I would even be fine. I know that these are immediate, but I would even be fine if my chief deputy was in with the rest of these during the budget process and not immediate.
So your question, if I'm clear, is are we going to take up, are we going to be discussing the potential additional raise requests in the budget process? Is that correct?
Right. The ones that were supposed to be brought in September.
Right. Which is for this meeting right now.
Right.
Right.
Which I submitted a couple weeks ago. So I was just wondering, because I'd never heard whether we were or weren't discussing them tonight. When were we discussing the September raise request?
My understanding is that's what this space is here for now. So if I understand you correctly, you requested additional raises that are not in this ordinance. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And would you like for them to be?
I mean, I did them for September, part of the handbook that says you're supposed to bring them in September. I brought them.
Okay, so it sounds like we might have some miscommunications, maybe clerical error.
No, Tyler, Pearson, may I make a comment?
Please, go ahead.
Okay, the reason why there's no ordinance for her other one is because I cannot do an ordinance for a budget for next year that hasn't occurred. There will be no ordinance at this time because if she's asking for a raise to go through the budget process, she'll ask for it now, and then it'll be addressed in the budget book through the budget process. There will not be an ordinance because you can't do an ordinance amending a budget that hasn't occurred.
Okay, so Ms. Lewis, if I can ask you, would you like to see the raise request be considered now for, like, to go into immediate effect if they were passed throughout the rest of this current budget year?
No.
Or are you just wanting it to happen next budget year?
Next budget year. And I understand that. I understand what she was saying. I was just wanting everybody to realize we brought them in September. How in the past have we brought those? They've been told we've been doing them in September. In years past, have we not discussed them in September for the budget process? That's what I thought. We've usually, I thought in the past, discussed them now, but understood that they wouldn't go into effect until January 1. I mean, when do we discuss them? That's what I was asking. If not now, when it says in the handbook for budget process, when is it?
Well, I mean, I don't know if somebody else wants to chime in here. But
what have we done in years past?
I would think right now if there's any questions regarding whether it's going to occur immediately or in the budget cycle, several of these committee members should be able to answer that because you've got the chairman of budget finance and Justice Pearson and Justice Boyer who are all on finance. So
thank you, Justice Kendrick. Speaking for myself, you know, if you would like to have those included now into this current ordinance, we can table this one and take it up again, or we can make a motion to table it and potentially take it up again next month with the rest of the requests included. Or if you would like, since you submitted everything on time, I have no problem with taking this one up as is and taking up a new one for your department next month. Do you have a preference?
No,
on
I was
that,
just wondering
Ms.
about
Lewis?
The process. I was
Justice Pearson, I think she's looking for some direction on whether these will be adopted immediately or if they will be pushed off to the budget cycle.
Right. All the chief deputy requests tonight, are they immediate or are they budget cycle?
So if it's the intention, if we pass this out of here and send it to budget and finance, if it's the intention of budget and finance just to hold those until we actually go into budget season, that's what she's asking. I think she's just looking for some direction.
Well, I'm going to take the floor. So the way that I understand this ordinance as written is it would be appropriating money to pay out the raise for the rest of this year, so it would go into effect immediately, and then would be part of her budget request for next year.
I think that's accurate, as long as the assumption is that budget and finance is actually going to pass it and send it to the full court and not hold it for the budget cycle. I think that's what she's asking. If budget and finance is going to send that, then your assumption is correct. But if budget and finance is going to hold it, then it won't be immediate.
Well, Unfortunately, we won't have a way of knowing that without the Budget and Finance Committee being able to, you know, cast a vote. So I don't see how we can answer that question here tonight in this committee. I understand folks would want to hear from Justice Pickett, and if Justice Pickett would like to comment, he's welcome to. However, I will just note that it is one member and requires a majority vote. So he can't speak for the entire committee only for himself. Justice Pickett, would you like to say anything?
Yes.
You're recognized.
The budget the personnel manual indicates that these raise requests have to be submitted in September, but they're going to be effective in January the 1st of the following year for the next budget cycle. So what we're trying to do is to get all of these raises, the personnel manual is trying to get all of these raises out of the way, so to speak, so that when we put the when we put the budget together, there will not be any uncertainty associated with the salaries. We've got enough to deal with about a shortage of revenue. So anyway, all of these ordinances, 2131 through 2135, are going to be effective January 1.
And I wasn't trying to discuss mine tonight. I just wanted to be recognized that I did send that out, and it was submitted for September, and that I haven't heard anything back except from Margaret that they would be through the budget process, which I knew. But I thought in the past years when I was sitting in here listening that I thought that we did discuss those in September, even though they were for a future date of the budget that wasn't formed yet. So I was just wondering. I just wanted it to be known on record that we had they had been submitted for the September month. But it didn't necessarily have to be discussed now.
Okay. All right. We can handle that. Thank you for the clarification. If it's okay with you, Ms. Lewis, I'll return the discussion. Return back to the discussion on the ordinance, unless you have anything else you want to add to that.
That's all I had. I sent that email out, and I sent the explanation to it, and I asked if anybody had any questions to let me know, and I didn't hear any. We just wanted to point out, you know, me and Sherry were talking about the funding, but our office is responsible as a whole for bringing in more than half of County General. And as many of y'all know, we're funded differently. So we're funded primarily by the schools. So as I said in that email, when we ask for money from County General, it only costs about 10% of that. So even for the chief deputies at the 53,784, it would be a minimal amount from County General for our chief. We can show on paper well worth us bringing in the money to cover the salaries. That's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And I just want to clarify for myself and for the members of the committee, which actual amount of raise request amount for your chief deputy you would like us to consider? Because we're only going to be able to consider one at a time. So at this time, since I have two different versions here, Ms. Lewis, which amount would you want this committee to be discussing? And what amount, Justice Kinder, perhaps you could tell me what amount is on the ordinance that you have before you in terms of the raise amount?
The amount on the ordinance before us in Section 1 is raising the salary up to $53,784.
Okay, thank you for that. So, Ms. Lewis, would you like us to continue to debate that number or the higher amount of 55,600?
According to our salary survey, mine's actually closer to the 53,784. They did draft two because of us being paid the same. I would agree that I think the chief deputy should be paid the same, but like you said, it's an unknown because we're not there yet. So I think tonight mine would be the 53,784.
Okay, well then we'll keep the ordinance unamended and as is. Any other discussion or questions from committee? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to annex this to budget and finance.
Chairman Pearson?
Yes, Justice Boyer.
Yes. Proposed ordinance 2132 is being presented to the Personnel Committee tonight, correct?
Yes, sir.
It will be sent to the Budget and Finance Committee next, is that correct?
That's at the pleasure of the committee, but I believe that is the traditional process.
Section 3 of the proposed ordinance 2132 says this ordinance shall be effective the beginning of the new pay period beginning September 25th, 2021. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Chairman Pickett, are we going to have a Budget and Finance Committee meeting before September the 25th?
This ordinance has to go to Budget and Finance, and we'll fix that Section 3 at that time.
But we,
isn't there one scheduled for next week? But not for that? For dispatch raises?
We're not going to. We can't act, the Budget and Finance Committee cannot act on this ordinance
before September 25th.
With Section 3 on it.
Right.
So the next time, in October, when the Budget and Finance Committee meets, that Section 3 will be deleted.
So we need a motion to delete Section 3 before we even to pass this on the Budget and Finance, is that correct?
I'm not sure who you're asking, Justice Porter, but I don't think it is a necessity.
No, I don't think it
is. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask that Ordinance 21-32 be tabled in that the supporting data is inadequate to satisfy the amended personnel manual that the full court passed last month.
I have a motion on the table to table Ordinance 2132.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor of tabling the ordinance indicate by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ordinance 2132 is tabled. Okay, next item on. Thank you. Okay, moving on. Next item on our agenda, 2133, raise request for the circuit clerk. Is anyone from the circuit clerk's office present that would like to speak on behalf of the ordinance?
Yes, Justice Pearson.
Thank you. Please find the microphone and take it away.
Does all the justices have a copy
of what was presented? Do y'all have all my supporting document information? I've got some extra copies if you need it.
We got the email.
You got it? Okay. All right. So my request is for my chief deputy a raise. This was a request from May of the first of this year, when I received the AAC salary survey. I realized that we were behind once again with our chief deputy in comparison to other class six counties of our size. And so I presented that because raise requests have to be requested in May and September. So what I've compiled here, and I'm sure you're going to find that I don't meet the standards that you requested, but I have reasons. And I do believe the ordinance stated that if there were exceptions to this format, then I would provide a copy of those items and explain them. So that's what I'm going to do. I've done both the average chief deputy salaries for class six counties, including all six class six counties, which includes two quite a bit smaller, being that in 2010 we were over 116,000 population, Jefferson and White come in at 77,000 population, which is almost half of our size. So I've got those, and that does come up to $53,048. But if you take out those two smaller Class 6 counties, it comes up to $55,571.25. So $55,600 is what I'm asking for my chief deputy that's been here for 25 years. If you just look at Garland County, which has a population of 96,000, which is over 10,000 smaller than us, her chief deputy gets $56,310. Saline County, which is just right across the bridge over there, chief deputy gets $68,890. I also gave a classification of counties. If you'll look in, previously AAC used to put the populations and how they classified the Class 6 counties, and I think they stopped doing that back in 2018, but I went ahead and put that sheet in here. And you'll see in Class 1, there's numerous Class 1 counties, but there's only 10,000 difference in their population. Class 2, there's only 10,000 difference in all Class 2 county populations. Class 3, 10,000 difference in population. Class 4, it bounces up a little bit to 20,000. Class 5, 20,000. But if you'll look at Class 6, which is our class, there's a huge difference between, it can be from 70,000 up to 200,000 population. That's 130,000 difference in Class 6 counties. Now, why that margin is so much larger in Class 6 than it is in all the other five classes, I don't know. But I think we need to look at that fact and however this was classified, and we need to throw out the two counties that are not equal to our size. I believe the 55,600 is the accurate number that our chief deputies are should be getting at this time. I also gave you information, my chief deputy, even though she's pretty much completely court, she does help in real estate on the cost recorder side some, but mainly she's court, but she does takes a lot of responsibility when I'm out. With that being said, I wanted to point out that my chief deputy, unlike probably a lot of others, is not paid out of County General. I pay for her out of my cost recorder's fund, where I collect fees for filing real estate. I take on that burden so that the county does not have to. Not only that, but when I came in 2017, I restructured my office. I brought in technology, and I looked at ways to increase productivity while, through attrition, reducing staff size of five full-time positions. My office takes on a lot of extra work, and they're okay with that because we like to stay busy and we like to get things done. But I don't feel, as a department head, when I've taught my staff to go over and above and to do for this county, we bring over $1 million a year in revenue, and I only spend a little over $400,000 of that. I've already brought that up to over $1 million. I've been giving the county back $250,000 to $350,000 a year. And now, you probably won't hear this, but all that other money, the $600,000, is rolling into County General as we speak, because I'm not spending it. I'm not spending it because I have it. And I'm not increasing staff because I can. But I do want to take care of my employees that have worked hard to make this happen. And for these offices, it just bothers me, because I know this can be done in a lot of other county government offices. We can make things efficient in our office. We can work on infrastructure within our county to reduce expenses We can find ways so that we can give our people these raises. And that's all I'm saying.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Any questions from the committee for Ms. Taylor or on the ordinance? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to advance this to Budget and Finance. Subcommittee's pleasure.
Motion to forward 2134 to Budget and Finance.
Just for clarification, I think this is 2133. Is that correct? Or am I looking at the wrong thing?
Yeah. It is 33.
Excuse me, I was looking at the, I flipped ahead. No problem. I will reword that motion. Motion to forward 2133 to Budget and Finance.
I have a motion. Thank you. I have a second. Motion and a second. All those will be paid, please, in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Mr. Chairman, just a minute.
Aye.
I didn't get the second.
Just a minute, members, if it's all right, we'll entertain a brief discussion on the motion that has been seconded. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes. I'd like to offer a substitute motion to table 21-33 for the lack of supporting information.
Okay. At that, I will leave it to the original mover. I'll give them the privilege of taking you up on your offer. Madam Secretary, who was the original mover?
Justice Kendricks.
I guess the main Justice Pickett. I guess the main question I have. I know several. We forwarded one of these. We've tabled several due to lack of inadequate data, in your opinion. And I understand that this is something new that the department heads and our elected officials are doing. What in particular in this, and Ms. Taylor already acknowledged that she couldn't get all the data. What is it in particular that you're looking for?
I don't have her Excel sheet that she sent me, but there's something fundamentally wrong with all of these five proposals that have been put forth compared to the request, the data that the sheriff's office has submitted. The sheriff's office submissions sets the standard which all the department heads should be.
So,
and all of this can be corrected by next month with no problem.
I do agree there was a lot of additional data in the sheriff's office proposals. I guess my main question is, even though those don't have the level of detail and data, are they still coming up short by our ordinance? And I don't think Mr. Murphy was included in this, but I'd be curious to get his opinion, because I think moving forward, we probably need to make sure that he is included in these emails. And I also realize these ordinances are probably not going to pass directly out of Budget and Finance and be implemented immediately. So I guess there is time to work through this, but I think we need to try to clarify this. That way we don't have this, because that's part of what my intention was behind this ordinance, was put it in place so we don't have to have this debate and discussion. And if there's something that's missing or that we need to amend that ordinance, we need to know. But just because they don't have the level of detail, I'm not sure they're coming up short per the way the ordinance is written.
Justice Kendrick, I don't have any particular objection to the dollar amount of the raises. My objection is to their proof. And all the department heads should meet the same standard of proof.
And the description.
And the sheriff's office has set the standard. Now, why can't all the other department heads meet that standard? And I'm just asking that it be delayed to the table until next month, in which they can visit with Ms. Woolley and figure out what they need to do properly.
May I ask a question?
I'm going to recognize Ms. Taylor, and then I'm going to return the floor to Justice Kendrick to decide if he wants to withdraw his original motion or not. Go ahead, Ms. Taylor.
So, in looking at what Ms. Woolley presented, the only thing that I see that would be any different than what we have done is the fact that she took an average within each county of dispatchers, and she used that to form her average, but there's only one chief deputy in each county, so we can't average what there's only one of. That is the average.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Justice Kendrick, would you like to proceed with your motion that has been seconded, or do you prefer to withdraw?
Let's proceed.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to advance 2133 to budget and finance. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Ayes have it, 2133 does advance to budget and finance. Thank you, Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Next item on our agenda, ordinance 2134, raise request for the county clerk's office. I'll bring the ordinance to the table and ask if anyone at the clerk's office would like to speak.
Yes, Justice Pearson, this is Margaret. I, too, have done a salary survey of all the counties and have reached out to each county individually to get an update on their salary survey. There have been several counties that have given raises just as recent as this month, or actually August. You will note that Garland County is at $51,118. Craighead County, I have provided their, they have a salary range, and based off the experience that my chief deputy would have of over 20 years experience, she would fall out at the salary max of $61,696. Had she be in Craighead County. In Saline County, you have to take the salary survey and add two line items together to come out with the amount of what they pay their financial administrator and administrator, and that was $63,685. So then we look at Sebastian County, and their chief deputy is paid $51,709. And she does not do any payroll or HR-related matters, as does the job description of my chief deputy. So I generally have to look at to see if they have a comptroller and receive information on what they pay their people that do the payroll. And I am not seeing that information in here. However, I do have the dollar amount, and they pay theirs at $52,113. Jefferson County, which receiving the 2021 or 2020 census data will no longer even be in a class six, paid their chief deputy, which does not do payroll, $55,000. And then White County, that's barely in our class at $77,000, paid their chief deputy at $48,768, which has an average of $56,063.33. If you factor in Faulkner County into this figure, it comes to a $54,827.14 number. And then if you take the four highest largest counties, the amount comes to $57,186. And if you'll note that Faulkner County is the second largest county in our class, we're not the fifth and we're not the last, but we're paid one up from being the last in our class. So White County being the lowest, Faulkner County is right there by White County, which is at 77,000 in population, and Faulkner County is at 123,498 in population. I've also provided emails from these other counties showing from their offices that they have given these raises. I have provided information from Garland County showing their comptrollers and what they pay there, and pulled out an average because there wasn't an exact job description, but two that would become similar. So I'm not sure what else would be short in providing all the data that's requested as per Mr. Pickett. I've also have a job description for Saline County, if anyone has it. I didn't have it at the time I sent out the email, but I do have it now. So I'll entertain any questions.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman,
have you muted yourself, Justice Pearson?
Yeah, sorry, I'm over here. I'm over here talking to myself. Hearing no motion on the ordinance to advance the budget finance, what is the committee's pleasure? And the chair recognizes Justice Pickett.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make my same motion that the ordinance 21-34 be tabled until the supporting data can meet the standard as established by the Sheriff's Office.
I have a motion to table 21-34. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion?
Justice, just real quick on this. What I think we're seeing tonight is, you know, Justice Kendrick had a good intentions of an ordinance, but sometimes ordinances can hinder or slow down the process of court responsibilities. I mean, I know that even the ordinances that are going to budget finance next month probably going to sit there until budget and won't go into effect until January 1st. So I would remind the department heads that, you know, this is not a roadblock. It's more of a just slowing things down. So with that, I would call for a question.
All right. Noted. Thank you, Justice Knight. All those in favor of tabling ordinance 2134, indicate please by saying aye.
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 No.
I'll get you to notice in a second, but Chair does vote in the affirmative. All those opposed that would like to indicate, please do so by saying no.
No again.
Okay, proposed ordinance 2134 is tabled. And last ordinance on our agenda for tonight, ordinance 2135, raise request from the Treasurer's Office. My understanding, I'll bring it to the floor, and my understanding is Scott is not available tonight, but is there anyone else present that is there to speak on behalf of the Treasurer's Office? I don't think there is. If somebody is coming forward, just let me know. Let's see here. All right, what is the committee's pleasure for... Well, I'll just open it up to discussion. I will just say one thing. You know, I think Scott has made his opinion known on occasion that he feels that we should, and this is something he recently communicated to me, was that we should pay the position and not the person when it comes to chief deputies' positions. And that was a big part of the reason he wanted to bring this forward. In light of other chief deputy positions, raise requests. Any discussion on this ordinance from committee members?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make the same motion that it be tabled, that ordinance 21-35 be tabled until the supporting data can meet the standard put forth by the Sheriff's Office.
Second, I have a motion and a second to table ordinance 2135. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of tabling ordinance 2135, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Ordinance 2135. It is tabled. Any announcements or discussion from committee members or anything on the agenda?
Justice Pearson, I'd just like to add something real quick.
Yes, please, you have the floor.
I can appreciate this is the first time this committee is working through some of this trial and error with the previous ordinance, but I think one of the reasons that these are emailed out in advance is so if a committee member does have issues with it, they can bring it up to those elected officials and managers to partially address that. And I understand it doesn't always work that way, but and I was trying to pull up the ordinance while we were sitting here doing it, and I was having issues doing that, but just because they might look slightly different does not mean that the data is not there that we need to comply with that ordinance. So I would definitely request that Mr. Murphy also be involved with this and getting that data and make sure that we're in compliance for the next meeting. And I know we have time since they're not going forward directly, but we need to work this out.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman.
Just 50, you're recognized.
Does everyone understand that we have a data problem when we make these comparisons?
No.
That up until now, we've used Class 6 counties. And the variance in the Class 6 counties is very high, the variation between them, in salaries and in population. Well, it's not population that drives the salaries. It's their tax base and their tax rate. And maybe sometime when the new population figures come out, the court will have an opportunity to define its own comparable counties and avoid this hassle that we go through about deleting counties because it's small, or we delete two counties because it's small. We must move forward to develop a homogeneous set of counties. And Class 6 counties don't meet that standard. So in the future, the quorum court's going to have to address this.
Thank you, Justice Pickett. Anybody else on the committee that would like to comment?
Yeah, I guess the only other comment I have is that I understand Justice Pickett's concern, but part of what was defined in that ordinance and what I believe all our elected officials met tonight was the data was there for all the Class 6 counties. They did what we requested. Some of them did subtract some of those counties out for reasons they felt was necessary due to population or whatever, which we had discussed at the prior meeting and in the full court saying they could do that and bring additional data, because it's just additional data. It's not subtracting from the actual requirement.
Yeah. Thank you, Justice Kendrick. Anybody else? All right. Hearing no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
For
adjourned. Thank you, members.